Sup? Welcome to the HBO Boys Podcast. I am Ryan. With me is guest Chad, although I would argue on the second episode of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier podcast. I said shoulder, but I'm going to keep
winter,
it.
The Winter Shoulder?
Yeah, the Winter Shrug Shoulders podcast. Yes,
cold shoulder.
Yeah, actual cold shoulder. the Winter Soldier. The Winter Shoulder. Oh, Chad, you are a delight. Anyway, I'm stepping in for James because his baby is sick and I don't have a baby, so I don't have to worry about that. The Falcon and the Cold Shoulder. I'm here to talk about it with you, Chad. Chad, you psyched? Sup, Chad?
Hey, yeah, no, I'm totally psyched.
You sound it. Anyway.
Yeah.
The second episode is called The Star-Spangled Man. Next week, don't worry about it. The energy will be much different when James is back. But for now, you're in the fun house of the Ryan and Chad zone. Okay? So just, like, deal with it. Before we go on, I will point out, go to patreon.com/HBOboys, boys with a Z. For one or more dollar a month, you get a bunch of extra bonus content. Chad and I just did some banter. We talked about Justice League a little bit before this. You can hear it for there. You can hear it on there for $1. That's crazy. Very cheap.
I would like to point out that this banter was extracted from me without my knowledge. And I did not know that it was going to be part of the Patreon, but I approve.
Yeah. I've used you for economic gain. Do you feel bad about that?
I'm more surprised that you did it without me putting it together at all.
Sure. I am a manipulative son of a bitch. That has been proven to be true. So let's jump into the second episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I listened to your podcast last week with Jamie and you, but I will just get a quick synopsis feeling out of the way right up front. James and I are doing a Justice League podcast at the moment where he really hates it and I don't like it per se, but I'm not as like ground and pound hate as he is. Where are you on the spectrum relative to James as well? For those of the people who didn't listen to last week's podcast, so me, probably not everybody else, just like, what are your feelings on Falcon and the Winter Soldier so far?
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, in a world where WandaVision just happened, exceeding all expectations, and now this.
My body is like thirsting for speculation and I'm struggling to find it.
Oh, there's none. There's none. There's
very, very little.
Right. And like, at least in WandaVision, you were getting red herrings. You had a mystery going on, something that you had to put two and two together and try to get four. This is not that. This is an action show. But I do have one prediction. And we'll get to it. And I hope you find it to be at all interesting. So let's get into the episode. Again, this is the second episode of Falcon and the Cold Shoulder. It opens up on the new Captain America named John Walker, played by Wyatt Russell, who is from the playtest episode of Black Mirror. Did you see that?
Nope.
Okay, and he is the new Steve Rogers, government pick success for... What's up?
Yes.
Oh. Do you have more words about it?
No.
Okay, and he is the government pick successor as the new Captain America. Now, Chad.
Yeah.
Being the local comics expert on the HBO Boys podcast, as I recall, the novice that I am, the comics, I believe, have had five caps. This version, the one that John Walker is playing, I believe was named Patriot?
Super Patriot.
Yeah, Super Patriot. And from what I read, he seems like the most interesting one because he was a bad guy first. What do you know of this bro, and what do you know of the Captain America history as a whole?
So, you touched on it already. He is more morally gray than Steve Rogers. He kind of dances back and forth between good and evil. He's anti-hero-esque. Like he generally does the right thing in the end. And then as far as Captain America as a whole, like, I mean, it's a mantle that gets tossed around. It always inevitably ends up back with Steve Rogers. That's the thing about comics, is that they can't kill off a character for good, because there will always be money in that character, and old comics aren't, like, they're good to collect, but they don't make money off of that. You know what I mean? They need to keep running the stories that people want to read.
Oh, Chad, Chatty Chad. The Pandora's box that you've just opened. I have such a rant-filled, the first ever, and I'm going to keep this to a minute, I swear to God. The first ever, I know, there's no way. We're never going to get into this episode. The first ever superhero brought back from the dead was Superman, right? In a Superman comic, he was killed off because, the only way to make Superman interesting is to kill him, as Justice League found out. And we've discussed many times previously. But the next episode or series
issue,
they just brought him back, right? And everyone else who wrote comic books was like, wait, you can do that? Death doesn't matter. You can just decide to bring someone who's dead back. So like from that point, I think it was over like 50 to 100 dead superheroes who were dead at that moment have come back to life in future comics.
Yeah, I feel like for a while there was a game going on about how ridiculous we could make somebody's revival be in a comic book, because like the convoluted, twisted logic, realities folding in, and like people swapping bodies and taking control of it's nonsense. It's ridiculous. Like Doc Ock, for example, recently Doc Ock died of cancer, but he like had a little robot that like jumped onto the back of Peter Parker and like reprogrammed Peter Parker's brain so that he was able to stay alive in Peter Parker's body. That was the Superior Spider-Man run. Like nonsense.
That sounds
absolute
dumb
nonsense.
As fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best part is like that ended this, I think it was episode, it was issue 600 of The Amazing Spider-Man. It was a big deal. Yeah, I think it was 600. But
have you read all 600 of those?
No, I'm not crazy.
You should have lied and said yes.
I know. I tried, but the early comics are just bad.
They're bad, sure.
but the first issue of Superior Spider-Man, they already kind of like walk back Peter Parker's death. Yeah. And so there were no stakes. Like that whole big dramatic thing just kind of didn't matter.
That's kind of like the not talked about thing in the comic book world all that much. It's like how people add nostalgia and revere 1980s rap and hip hop like it right. didn't suck. Like go back and listen to those songs compared to rap and hip hop of today. It's bad. They're just not good. it took time to become poetry in motion. Like back then, people were just rapping about their hats for 8 bars and then they were done with a song. Like, early comic books were bad.
Yeah.
Like, you get stuff that was written by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. People who, you know, Stan Lee, until his death, he's dead, right?
Stan Lee, yeah.
Thank God I was right about that. That would be, if I killed Stan Lee in that moment.
I mean,
he
died a couple years ago. That's all right. He's purportedly died several times.
Yeah, like Superman, I'm sure he'll come back. But I will say, comic books written by the originals, the OGs, even them, a lot of them are pure trash.
Yeah. We were talking about Spider-Man. The early Spider-Man stuff, it was like one issue, and it's beginning, middle, end. The story is tied up in a nice little bow, And it's just like, the villain's doing a bad thing. Oh, good thing Superman, or Spider-Superman. Good thing Spider-Man's here with
you
the proportional
up,
strength.
The, yeah, like, you
the proportional strength
is,
of a spider.
Right, and, it's fortuitous. You know. It's all the same shit. It's, in Superman, it's worse because, like, Superman flicks him with his pointer finger. Oh, he's right. Dead. Oh, Lois, I love you.
The and, bullets are bouncing off of him.
Yeah, how, no one knows it's me. I put on these glasses. I'm like, oh, God, so, okay, let's, God, we need to keep going. Let's go. Yeah. Okay. So John Walker, the new Captain America, he's in the army. He's in a locker room of his former high school thinking about how he was super sure he was going to peak his senior year. But sadly, that didn't work out on an incredibly patriotic scale. He's preparing to make his debut as the new Captain America, and he is shitting bricks. His girlfriend tries to convince him to be himself when he's out there. But let me run this by you, Chad. Here's the prediction I have. Quick predict. Okay. His girlfriend in the miniseries that is Falcon and the Winter Soldier dies. He somehow blames it on our dynamic duo, and he becomes evil a la Two-Face and Rachel, and he is the final boss of the miniseries. What do you feel about that?
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think
I don't know if I actually think that. I just kind of want it to happen.
I mean, I don't know how we'll get there, but if you think that new Cap and Bucky and Sam aren't going to come to blows. I mean,
oh,
you're watching
sure.
a different show.
They're absolutely going to fight. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then
it's just a matter of how. You know what I think is going to happen? I think that Zemo... We'll get to it.
Yeah, that's true. So then Walker's friend Lamar Hoskins, played by Clay Bennett, comes in. And after the future dead girlfriend leaves, and John starts to complain about his job and how it's super, super weird. Lamar tells him that he can no longer punch his way out of any situation. So apparently John used to be a boxer or a bully or both. And
or just a meathead.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. The same thing. All those three things. and then the usual Marvel Studios opening credits is replaced by a drum line and a marching band, which should be forever that. The marching band version of the song should be the forever. Captain walks out onto the field. He shakes babies. He kisses hands. And,
nice.
Yeah, thanks. And we launch into a Good Morning America interview where we basically get this dude's resume, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the first American in history to receive 3 medals of honor. What an overachiever. And then we see a video of him slinging the infamous Captain America shield at light speed while he says he is both dumb and weak. And
right.
That can't be true, right? That bro is obviously strong as fuck, and there is super mutant serum in that boy for sure. So is he lying or is he unaware?
I don't know, because the way he hucked that thing around and, like, caught it, like, I don't care how strong you are. Catching that thing going that fast, you're going to hurt yourself. I don't think he has a super soldier serum in him. I think maybe he gets it, and
really?
and that's why he has this inferiority complex, and he's like, and I think that he does it to try to become stronger so he could be a better Cap, and that makes him go nuts.
He Red Skulls, yeah.
Yeah. But I think that the shield throwing, I would chalk it up to like, oh, vibranium is a super lightweight metal that, you know, is able to not, whatever.
I think the idea is that, you know, if Steve Rogers was 5 feet tall and had asthma and got the super serum, what could somebody who was basically a superhero without it already be with it?
Right. Well, what they say in Captain America 1 is that the serum elevates everything about a person. So if you pick someone who has darkness in their heart, that darkness grows too.
Yeah, and he used to punch his way out of situations. So
right,
let's put some serum in his neck and see how it goes. We then cut to Sam Wilson and Torres, and they're in a hangar. They're ready to go fight a terrorist group called the Flag Smashers, which is a dumb name.
Yep.
Chad.
Yes.
That name sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
It is a bad name.
I agree. That's because I said it first. Anyway, Bucky steps in and he's like, hey, I'm here. You gave the shield away, you fuck. Why did you do that? They have a lot of contempt for each other. And Falcon's like, I can't talk about this right now. I have to go fight the Flag Smooshers. do you know if that's from the comics? Flag Smashers?
There is a character named the Flag Smasher who has similar motivations as this terrorist organization. But he's a very minor character.
Right.
And honestly, I only know of him because of some research that I did
for this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, stupid name. That's fine. Anyway, yeah. Bucky's interest is piqued, and he goes to Munich with Sam to take down the Flag Smooshers after they have a conversation that was in the trailer about the big three: androids, aliens, and wizards, right? They talk about that. It's a quippy conversation. James would call it a budget Aaron Sorkin conversation, which he doesn't like in the first place, and I do. So we'll come to blows one day about that.
Yeah.
Well, he's been connected to this online group called the Flag Smashers. Now, Red Wing traced them to a building somewhere outside of Munich, so that's where I'm going.
Well, I don't trust Red Wing. Hold on a minute.
You don't have to trust Red Wing. But I'm going to go see if he's right. I have a feeling they might be a part of the big three.
What big three?
The big three.
What big three?
Androids, aliens, and wizards.
That's not a thing.
That's definitely a thing.
No, it's not.
So every time we fight one of the three.
So who are you fighting now, Gandalf?
How do you know about Gandalf?
I read The Hobbit in 1937 when it first came out.
I don't mind the quippiness. I mean, I think it's kind of funny sometimes. Sometimes I think it's kind of clever. But I don't know. It's a chuckle.
Yes. There's some chucks. As I was watching the first episode of this show, I was thinking every time it went to, like, Sam and his family, I was bummed out because the Bucky storyline with him and the old Asian man and him killing his son in the past, I was like, oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. I agree.
I like Bucky. If this was just called Winter Soldier and it was about Bucky and Falcon wasn't in the show, I think it would be a good show. But sadly, Sam kind of sucks.
So you disagree then with James? James, I don't think he likes the Falcon storyline, but he just can't stand Bucky. He can't stand his acting. He can't stand anything about him.
Oh, he's wrong.
It is by far the more interesting storyline.
By a million percent.
Absolutely. Who gets a fucking boat? What are we doing?
We need to get all three of us on here, though, because the cornerstone of podcasts is disagreement. So now that we know this, we need to all be yelling at each other. Everyone loves that. Everyone really likes to turn the volume down when three guys who are in their mid-30s are yelling about superheroes. So that does now need to occur. Anyway, Bucky insists on going with Sam. Cut to, and Sam's like, no. And then cut to a plane over Munich, and they're both there. They both jump out of the plane after Bucky is like, yo, do you have a plan? Steve would have had a plan. And Sam's like, nah, I just jump and I beat people up. And Bucky is like, that's fucking dumb. He then jumps out of the plane without a parachute, calling back to his train-based death way back in the day. They then arrive at the warehouse and they're about to go inside. And Sam's like, okay, we can't just like do it the way you want to, Bucky. We're not assassins. And I was like, yes, he is. Like, that's his exact job forever. He literally killed Iron Man's dad as an assassin. I don't follow your rules, Sam. Okay. I don't know. Sam sucks. Okay. So they find out the Flag Smooshers have a hostage aboard the truck, and they finally just like get in there, and the trucks have vaccines in them, which seems timely.
Yeah, I wonder if that was a happy accident.
I assume it had to be, right?
So, do you think that they're vaccines, or do you think that they're super soldier serums that they're calling vaccines?
Well, I don't know. I mean, their goal, right, they're anti-new blip. They don't like that 50% of the people came back, right? That's their deal.
Mm-hmm.
So either they're trying to kill 50% of people, or they're trying to empower people on their side. And I don't know which one is which, but they have a liquid to do something about it.
Well, it's kind of like the refugee argument, where we're spending all this money to help the refugees, but the people who live here all the time, the natural citizens, we aren't getting that special treatment. So, you know, before these people came, we got the benefits.
Yeah. And now we're not. Then the anti-argument to that is like, yeah, they don't want to be here either, man. Right. Like, they didn't want to blip away for 5 years. That wasn't their goddamn idea.
Right, exactly. What, you would rather they all, like, suddenly half the world is homeless.
Oh, right? Yeah. Like, the socioeconomic fallout of half of the world coming back 5 years later is, I think, a great background narrative. Like, it's one of the most interesting parts of the show. It's just a shame that the layer on top of that is what it is. Sad. We get another action set piece, right? The show started with a 10-minute action set piece of Falcon in the air facing people who, with Skrull suits on, the only people he can fight in the air. And now we're on top of some trucks. The Flag Smooshers are very powerful, very strong. Like in the last episode, they definitely have some super serum in them. And Bucky and Sam are getting the shit kicked out of them until the new Captain America and Hoskins, now called Battlestar, shows up to help them. Sam saves Bucky at one point. But they both eventually just get thrown off the trucks because, you know, they're not as super as the Flug Smooshers. Walker saves Battlestar with his shield, with dead pinpoint accuracy, which is, like, every human can do that without any help.
Yeah. He's very good.
He's super good, isn't he? And then he gets back up, and he also loses to Carly, who is incredibly strong, and throws him off the goddamn truck.
And this is why I think, this is where my theory was born, where he's going to feel inadequate. You know, like he knows that if he was Steve Rogers, he wouldn't have lost that fight.
Right. Steve Rogers would have pulled that one out by himself, probably.
Probably.
He was going to face Thanos by himself. You think he would have turned away from and gotten thrown off the two truck scenario? Afterwards, they all are in a Jeep reminiscing about their recent failure. Or Walker and Hoskins discuss how the government made them come in. They were tracking Sam because he's basically wearing government property on his back. And they were like, why don't we all work together? And Bucky and Sam are like, we work alone.
But before that, there's a line where I think Sam asked Cap, would you ever jump on a grenade? And he's like, yeah, I've done it 4 times. I got this whole helmet thing where the inside's got it. You know, it's too complicated to explain. And I thought that was kind of funny because that's the line that Steve Rogers often said, like, are you the guy to, he challenged Tony Stark, are you the guy to land a grenade? And famously, he jumped on the grenade during training when he was all skinny. Right. And he just like solved the problem. He's like, yeah, I got a helmet that makes it so I can do that.
Over and over again. And I don't die the first time. After this, we cut to Carly and the Smooshers. They have been taken in by some weirdo fan who yells at them about how people are falling more and more in line with their new group. They're adding new people every day.
And the reverence, like, he's like so happy to, like, he's almost
too happy. Like, yeah. It feels like he's going to turn on them and then he doesn't.
Yeah.
But I agree. Like, I'm so, every part of me was just like, this guy's too cool about all of this.
he went so too far out of his way.
Yeah, like, no one's that nice in the real world or the fictional world. But apparently he is.
But, like, he's helping a terrorist organization.
Right. Who, you know, it is said the best bad guys always believe that they're the good guys.
Yeah.
And it's very true in the Flag Smoosher area as well. And it's not far off. It's like, it's not hard to understand their point. Like, you know, Thanos kind of did have a point, you know, minus all the death and tragedy with 50% right. of the people going away. So all of a sudden, there was less pollution. There was right. more food for everybody. Like,
well, and they talk about it in Endgame, too. Cap's like, they saw whales in the Hudson River. You know, like, what?
Right. But, you know, the opposite side of that story is like, well, that's easy for you to say. You didn't disappear.
Right.
You benefited. I think it was in the first episode as well. Like, whenever one group gets oppressed, another group benefits.
Yeah.
And so, like, back and forth either way. Which, so, like, you can understand, but, like, is this your whole life? That's sad. Yeah, they're getting settled in, and then Carly gets, like, a text message from an unknown number being like, y'all are fucked, and we're going to come kill you, and you took stuff from us. At which point, they are like, all right, well, we just got here, but this guy's being way too nice, and we got to leave. We then cut back to Bucky, and he's like, well, we should take the shield back, and we should do this ourselves. At which point, Sam is like, we're going to go to Baltimore now. For no, I'm not going to give you a reason, but we're going to Baltimore now. I'm a huge Orioles fan, and now we're in Baltimore. So they go there. A child in the street points out that Sam is black, which is a harrowing moment. And then they knock on a door, and it is Isaiah Bradley, who has some super serum in. Him and what do you know about this guy from the comics, Chad?
Nothing.
Cool. So he and Bucky had a history, a skirmish in Korea, which Isaiah says he won. Isaiah's like, I'm not going to help you. You're a murderer. And Bucky's like, I'm different now. And Isaiah's like, nah. Bucky is there to warn Isaiah about the Flag Smooshers, but he basically tells Bucky to fuck himself and to get out.
So yeah, we learn that in this that there was a super soldier project back in the 50s, and it's very reminiscent of the tests that doctors did on black people to try to find cures for syphilis. They would just infect a bunch of black people with syphilis and then like do all sorts of crazy tests on them. And Isaiah Bradley's story is that he was part of this test group where they would just inject random things into black people to try to recreate the super soldier serum that made Captain America, because obviously that formula was lost when the scientist died. And it's kind of obvious when you think about it. Like, they were successful once. Do you think that the military is not going to try again?
Yeah, one is good enough. We're done here.
Yeah. And he's gone. He's been here for about, what, 3 months, and now he's gone, and that was a nice ride. No, so they do that, and they're successful once with Isaiah Bradley. And and they said that even once they were successful, he was put in jail, and then they would, like, drain his blood and study it and, like, basically torture him for years and years and years and years and years. And we don't really know how he got out or anything, but in the last episode, James and I commented on how they were making racial commentary. Mm-hmm. And in this, like, 15-minute cycle, and actually what's going to happen next, too, I think they're doubling down on it. I think that they might actually try to deal with, like, race relation issues in this show, which is a huge surprise. I didn't think that it was going to go there.
And so far, in a show that I would argue is not very good, they're actually not doing that bad of a job. Because right. as this scene was happening, I was like, oh, that's racist as fuck. And then they step outside after getting kicked out, and Sam is further outraged that a black super soldier was kept secret from the world. Like, not only was he tortured for 30 years, which is racist as fuck, but also he was kept secret from the world. So, like, they don't know about it either. And they don't, they, like the world couldn't handle that there was a black super soldier. Like, they didn't trust the people of the world. And perhaps they were right. Also racist as fuck.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then cops pull up and, as Bucky and Sam are yelling at each other, start to grill Sam, the black guy, ask the white dude if he's being aggravated, at which point Bucky's like, do you know who this is? You guys right. are so dumb. He's on the TV all the goddamn time.
Right. Hey, white guy, is this black guy bothering you?
Right. And then it turns out white guy didn't show up to court appointed therapy and he's the one who's arrested.
Right.
So, like,
crazy
that scene.
And, like, while they're there, another cop car pulls up. It's like, it's such like a, like a, I actually really like this.
It's a good scene.
Yeah.
It's like the first good scene about them not being superheroes. Like,
yeah.
Because, again, Ant-Man 2 sucked. Because I don't care about a heist in a world where gods are fighting. Falcon and the Winter Soldier sucks. Because I don't care about a dude who can fly and a assassin who's mad about it and doesn't have memories about it doing, like, groundwork in a world where gods fight. But... you know what is good TV? That world shrunk down and mm-hmm. talk about real shit, which is what this 10 minutes was. I was like, oh, okay. That's like a good show. Sadly, I just know they're doubling down, but they sure as heck aren't going to focus in on it. Like, they're going to choose in the future. I just know it. 10 to 15 yeah. minutes of an action set piece that cost $50 million rather than just like, hey, what's the socioeconomic fallout of having a black superhero who is constantly being harassed by police? Because
yeah.
it's gross.
I think we're going to get like 70% there and then we're just going to kind of coast at that point. And pretend that there was a resolution.
Right. We don't believe that this show will take that swing.
Yeah.
Because WandaVision, while being a great show, did two tangible things total. Really didn't take huge swings at all. And because why would you? You're getting people to keep Disney Plus subscriptions. You're not trying to have a TV show that will give too much context outside of the movies because someone shows up to the next movie and is like, wait, what happened in the middle? I didn't watch. Right. I don't have Disney Plus. Right. So
right.
you assume those big swings aren't going to be taken, but like that where Sam is dealing with being a black man in America is way more interesting than him flying through the air and fighting George St. Pierre.
Well, and I think that there's a sub story going on too here where he was going to be Captain America, but he felt like he couldn't do it.
Yes.
And I think that that's going to parallel this like self, what does it mean to be black in America? Do you feel like a secondary citizen? And if you do, are you worthy of being Captain America? Oh,
fucking obviously. Yes. And yeah. I don't know if that's exactly why he I think is just like, not thinking about being black. He's just like, I'm not worthy because who would be worthy to be the next Steve Rogers? Like the right. dude was built for this. And while he did give it to me, just, I don't know if I or anyone could do this.
Yeah. And I just figured out how they're going to end up pulling out of this whole storyline. They're going to flirt with this idea of it being a race issue. And then at the end, it's not going to be.
No, for sure. That's exactly what's going to happen. Because, but also, you know, you could tell that the government within this story, the U.S. government, was happy the black guy didn't become Captain America. How fast did they make the white? They're like, oh, thank God. Here's a white dude. Like a week okay. later.
Blonde and blue-eyed? Oh, perfect.
Yeah, right. Literal Aryan race shit. So it's all racist. Super all racist. Anyway, Bucky gets arrested. and gets bailed out by new Captain America, but it also allows for a moment in time where the therapist gets to talk to both Bucky and Sam. They lay out all of their issues. Sam says, you know, I think I did the right thing. He doesn't get to the nitty gritty, which I think is what we were just talking about, what it will end up mm-hmm. being. And Bucky makes the point. Bucky basically gives his entire character synopsis.
Why are you making such a big deal out of something that has nothing to do with you?
Steve believed in you. He trusted you. He gave you that shield for a reason. That shield, that is everything he stood for. That is his legacy. He gave you that shield and you threw it away like it was nothing. So maybe he was wrong about you. And if he was wrong about you, then he was wrong about me.
I liked this scene a lot.
You liked it?
I did. Yeah. I did like it. I liked it because I feel like they're doing a really good job rounding out Bucky's character.
Yes.
You know, he guilt, and now like he's got this self-doubt, and I'm loving it. And I don't see that happening on Sam's side.
It won't, because it's exactly what we just talked about. The rounding out of Sam's character requires a big swing that Marvel won't take.
Right, right. His unfortunately, is it racist that his big storyline is going to be the fact that he's black?
It's not racist. Like, everything happening to him and around him and in the storyline is racist, and it sets a foundation up for a swing that could be awesome. It could be truly great narratively. It could mm-hmm. not only make his character more interesting, but provide true social commentary that yeah. will, that should affect people in a positive manner.
And change what a superhero movie can be, show rather, change what that kind of story can be. And it's so relevant in our times, we're in America. I assume that most of your viewers are in America.
No, oddly enough, a lot in Beirut. Yeah, that's weird. Keep going.
it's a great opportunity, and I really hope that they do it.
They're definitely not going to do it.
They're not going to do it, though.
No. It's just a bummer, because you see the possibilities. I felt the same way a little bit as WandaVision was winding down. Right? You mm-hmm. saw the possibilities and your fan fiction started to become better than the fiction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, let's finish out the episode. So they basically come together and they go, we're going to do this one last job, this first job and also this last job, but we don't like each other and we'll go our separate ways afterwards after we take down the Flug Smooshers. And, you know, I told you, Bucky makes his plea as to how his backstory is affected by Sam's in some way, and it's all connected to Steve Rogers. They're both trying to figure out how they fit into a world without him. And they then leave, and new Captain America is basically like, hey, again, you know, we should all be together. At which point, Sam makes a good point, which is, you guys have red tape, we don't. We probably shouldn't work together. We can do the same thing, and we can complement each other, but I think it would be better if we're separate from each other. At which point, new Cap gets real aggy about the rejection, like one or both of his parents left him early in his childhood, and this is all about his weirdly surface abandonment issues. Like, that definitely is a part of it. And
are you sure that's not you?
No, I'm not projecting. And okay. So... But, like, this does show, like, a streak of new Cap has some aggression in him. And I assume it's the underlying, like, see, we told you he was a meanie.
Sam has red tape. He works for the military, too.
Yeah, right? Like, they could just take the stuff he has on his back?
The only one that doesn't have red tape is Winter Soldier, who's supposed to be retired. So, really, he's a vigilante, and he's violating the Sokovia Accords.
That's correct. But he's apparently out of that now, because Captain America was like, no, he is working with me. And then they were like, no, we're not. But Captain America doesn't walk back inside and be like, okay, fuck him. So apparently, yeah.
Can you imagine? That would be a really funny, like, oh, shit, what do we do now?
Yeah, exactly. So no, that's just not how it works. And they're now just free to do whatever they want, apparently. But obviously the government can still track everything they do, because... Falcon until he makes his own wingsuit is wearing government property on his back.
Right. Otherwise, he's regular dude.
Exactly. Just guy who's not a super soldier at all, doesn't have a vibranium arm. And
maybe slightly better at hand-to-hand combat than the average guy.
Right. Port over to Slovakia, and the Flooper Smooks are tipped off that they've been caught. They start loading stuff on the plane. One guy stays behind to get shot and distract. Carly only can only watch while her friend gets gunned down. And then we cut back. And then Bucky comes up with a new idea as to what they do next. And they have to, quote, go see a guy, unquote. The second time in one episode that going to see a guy is a plot point, which is a bad plot point. It's stupid. Yep. And this time it's even dumber because they're going to see Hydra Agent Zemo, played by Daniel Brühl from Captain America Civil War, who I truly, truly never needed to see again.
Sure. Not a Hydra agent.
Okay, then what was he?
He was a guy who lived outside of Sokovia, whose family was killed by the falling city, by Ultron, and then he blamed the Avengers for not, you know, they just left, they just went home and said they were winners, but he couldn't find his family for days and all this crap. And he did a bunch of research on Hydra and then, like, interrogated and tortured Hydra agents to find information about the Winter Soldier so he could reactivate him to break apart the Avengers.
Okay. I fell asleep during that sentence. Like, I don't care about him at all.
But... I mean, let me put it this way. If he is a Hydra agent, it wasn't a major part of his character.
Right. IMDb says that his prison cell number was 2187. That's the same number as Princess Leia's prison cell in Star Wars.
Oh,
that's a fun little fact for you.
Sharing a room with Princess Leia.
Pretty nice. Pretty, pretty nice. IMDb also gave me this one. The Flag Smooshers flee to escape the minions of the Power Broker. In the comics, the Power Broker was a criminal business entrepreneur who clandestinely offered the service of a body enhancement treatment that could give recipients super strength, but at a hidden cost of a high rate of serious adverse reactions that could lead to grotesque body distortions. One of the recipients was John Walker, who received it to become Super Patriot. In this series, since Walker was able to fight the enhanced Flag Smooshers with some effect, that suggests that he received a similar treatment, which could explain how he was able to have extraordinary military service record of 3 Medals of Honor. So this IMDb fact asserts that he already has some super soldier bullshit in him from the Power Broker, which he may or may not.
That's possible. I mean, the Power Broker is likely in this show, in the credits that roll by, like at the end, all the graffiti in the background. They say, what does it say? It says like, beware the Power Broker, or like something about, really? about the Power Broker. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I believe that's who is texting Carly and who is trying to get whatever they stole from
the Power Broker. So we are a third of the way through the show. We're just meeting who is supposed to be the titular villain of the show, which is Baron Zemo. There is this other character who is clearly very important that has not shown up yet, named the Power Broker. We are just on the cusp of this like race relation issue of military tests on black people and like this whole social commentary. There's a lot going on right now in the show, and this is a 6-episode season.
Sure. We're a third of the way through the show already.
Yeah. So there's a lot to cover.
And they're definitely not going to cover it all. The stuff they choose to cover will be dumb. Like they're going to have they have a whiteboard somewhere in some room, and the stuff they chose to cover is going to be the wrong stuff. I just feel it in my bones.
Secondarily, what they might be doing here, and it's something they couldn't really do with WandaVision, is they might be setting things up for other shows.
Which ones? Like,
well, we know the Hawkeye show is coming out.
Oh my god.
Oh, shut up. It's gonna be fine.
The worst one.
But because WandaVision kind of had to exist in a bottle. The Loki show obviously is going to take place in the multiverse, so that's not going to be related. But there are other grounded heroes that have shows coming up that are going to need or that could benefit from some groundwork. And what better show to do needless groundwork than a show about Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
About two dudes without superpowers?
Yeah. Well, he's got a vibranium arm.
I know, and it helped him that one time when he... Well, it's helped him multiple times when, you know, he can fall out of a plane. Normal people can't fall out of planes. Vibranium arm guy can.
So, in the comics, and I might be mistaken, but I don't think I am.
Well, our podcast is always full of true facts, so it would be really off-brand if you were wrong.
All right, so just bleep this out if it's wrong.
James isn't gonna, who is editing this, is not gonna do the research. And now that I've said that, he's definitely going to. And either way, he's gonna bleep you. Keep going.
I'm sure he'll bleep out just the right words to make it sound like I'm saying something very
like you
profane.
Said the F word, totes.
Falcon
is the F word.
I just totally forgot what I was gonna say.
Yeah, I do that. I do have that. I have that that effect on people.
Oh yeah, I got it. Okay. So, hey, I got back there.
You did it.
So, in the comics, Bucky does not have any superpowers. He's not super strong. He's not a super soldier. He just has super strength because of his metal arm.
Right.
Do we believe that to be true in the MCU? Like, we know that he was brainwashed. I assume that, like, part of the brainwashing made him a better soldier, but did it make him a super soldier?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he has super strength. I think he has the vibranium arm, and he is, out of all the people who don't have superpowers, one of the best hand-to-hand combat people in the world.
Okay. Do you think he b****es himself a lot on that arm? There's got to be a lot of, like, points.
Oh, so much. So much. Because there are pieces of the metal. As I was watching Justice League, I was like, Steppenwolf must b**** himself. On a constant basis. I mean, his stuff is undulating.
Yeah.
What's his face? Bucky doesn't have to deal with the undulating, but still. He has bleeding on a constant basis. Something Sam doesn't have to deal with.
It even gets spiky sometimes. Like, how do you gross. Not? How do you not?
How do you not? Well, now that we're talking about bleeding and from a vibranium arm, I think that is it would suggest we should end the podcast.
As a whole,
the Falcon and the Winter Soldier podcast, it's over now.
That's a good place to stop.